Aren't you glad you don't have to carry it yourself?
Amen.
Amen. That's what's wrong with this world. It's trying to bear its own burden. And we're carrying around things that God never meant for us to. Won't you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms chapter number 85 this morning. And in just a minute, I'm going to read that entire chapter. But before I do, I'd like to finish telling you the story that Brother Gibbs shared with us on Monday night about the older black lady that sat beside him. After she got through telling him about the 45-minute offering, she said, I need you to do me a favor. And he said, what's that? She said, would you scoot over about 4 feet? And he said, are you expecting somebody? And she said, no, but when I gets to singing, I needs my room. She said, when I get to loving on Jesus, she said, I just have to have some room. She turned to him. She said, you see, I am addicted to Jesus.
Amen.
The pastor called him up to the platform, and while there was singing, he leaned over to the pastor and said, I met that dear lady down there. He said, Miss Abby. He said, yeah, if that's her name, I got to meet her. Boy, she's something. The preacher said, yes, she is. He said, did she share her testimony with you? He said, no. All she told me was that she was addicted to Jesus. All she talked about was how much she loved Jesus. He said, Brother Gibbs, 2 weeks ago, her husband and her 2 teenage boys were at the bus stop. The husband was catching the bus to go to work. The boys were catching a bus to go to school. And they think it was gang related, but a car came by, took a gun out the window and killed her husband and both her boys. And said they didn't stop there. One of them got out with a sawed-off shotgun and literally blew the heads off of her husband and her 2 boys. He said, I went to the hospital and I said, Miss Abby, what do you want me to do? And she said, preacher, let's just have church. He said, she didn't tell me that. All she told me was how much she loved Jesus. He said, did she also tell you, preacher, that she's in stage 4 cancer and can't afford the medication she so badly needs? He said, no, sir. All she told me was she was addicted to Jesus. Boy, what a state to be in. Do you think you could go through losing 3 of your family all in the same day, stage 4 cancer, can't afford your medicine, but yet she needs a room when she loves on the Lord. Amen? Something we ought to come to church with in mind, just to love on the Lord. Amen? Psalms chapter number 85. I'm gonna bring a message this morning, or try to. I want to talk about what happens when revival comes. We've been talking about revival for several weeks. Somebody said, how long are you going to preach on revival? When we have revival.
Yeah.
Amen. Till we have revival, I'm just going to keep preaching on revival. Till we get excited about the things of God again, I'm going to keep preaching on revival. Till we get back to where we're using this altar again, I'm going to keep preaching on revival. Till we get back to the place where we're just openly worshiping and praising God, like the little black lady said, just loving on Jesus. Amen. Hey, I wish some of you needed some more room this morning. Amen. Psalms chapter number 85, the Bible said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. That little word, Selah, it means hang on a minute. It means just stop right there and think about what has just been said. I know this is talking about the house of Israel or the nation of Israel, but it very well could apply to you and I as Americans this morning. It certainly could apply to us as Christians, where he said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Hey, listen, you are sitting in the most blessed nation on this planet this morning. I know all the controversy and I know all the problems, but I am still thankful that God allowed me to be born in America.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I could just as easily have slanted eyes and be living in China this morning. Amen. So could you. I could be somewhere in a jungle in Africa eating monkey meat, but God, let me be born right here. Amen. We spend too much time complaining about what's wrong.
Amen.
And not spending enough time thanking God for what is right.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't love America, we got right down here at Hartsfield Jackson Airport, we got planes leaving every 5 minutes. Go catch you one and go somewhere else. Amen. I love America.
Amen.
I'm not crazy about some of the issues and some of the sin that's going on in our nation, but I love our country. And God has blessed us. There's no doubt about it. We may be in a recession, a depression, or whatever you want to call it. I just call it broke, but whatever it is, hey, we may be going through some tough times, but God has been good. Amen?
Amen.
He said, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And then he said, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Now, you ought to just stop right there and shout a little while. How many of you are saved? Wave at me this morning. You know what that means? That's why he said Selah. That's why he said hang on right there and think about what I just said. All your sins are gone.
Amen.
Y'all just don't remember how wicked you were, do you?
Amen.
You just don't remember how sorry you were, how vile you were. Oh, you may have me sitting here this morning, will you? Sunday go to meeting clothes on. You may have a King James Bible in your lap. But there was a day when you were on your way to hell. There was a day when you deserved to die and go to hell. But Jesus, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his love, well, somebody ought to get happy this morning and say, thank God, all my sins are gone. Turn around and tell your neighbor, say, hey, all my sins are gone. Amen. All my sins are gone. Somebody said, no, yours ain't. I see what you do. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hey, you may look at me and see my fault. I may look at you and see your fault. But when Jesus looks at me, I love that song Sister Janice sang, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Hey, we ought to just take some time and think about what God has done for us.
Amen.
You say, I thought you were preaching on revival. If we get to thinking about the sins God has forgiven us for and what he's done for us, that'll bring revival in our land.
Amen.
What we need is not health care reform. What we need is not some great governmental plan. What we need is for America to put God back in his rightful place and trust him again and thank him again. Are you listening to me this morning?
Amen.
Let me show you what will fix our government. Check this out. In 1904, this was in the Atlanta newspaper in 1904. It said an amazing revival of prayer is sweeping our city. On November the 2nd, the Supreme Court of Georgia closed so people could go and attend prayer meetings. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? If they just shut her down and said, hey, let's quit arguing about this. Let's table all this stuff and let's get somewhere and get a hold of God. Wow, that happened right here, friend. We read about revivals, the great Welch revival, and we read about the great Chicago meetings, and we read about all these great, man, that's right here. That's our home. Amen? You said, never happened again. Probably, you're probably right because of attitudes just like that.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Because of attitudes just like that. I'm sick of preachers running around the country talking about how we'll never see revival again. I'm tired of that.
Amen.
Well, it's the last days. Yeah, it is. Good time for revival.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, it's the last days, preacher, and times are hard. And wah, 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 wah. Hey, why don't you hush, man? He's still God, and he's still on his throne, and he's not lost his ability. He's still the God of all power. He's still the God of all knowledge. He still loves his... Hey, does God love you this morning? Come on, talk to me. Does God love you this morning? Tell you something. That little squirt right there, not Todd. But hey, that's my grandson. We went and picked him up yesterday afternoon. He spent the night with Nana and Papa. Now, we went to the pumpkin patch. He wanted a pumpkin. We were going on a hayride. Yeah, that's right. We went on a hayride. We went to the pumpkin patch, and I said, pick you out a pumpkin. He went over there and grabbed the biggest one he could find. They charged by the pound. I didn't know they sold pumpkins by the pound. That thing's a 50 cents a pound. He's over there wrestling with this thing. Guess which one he got? One he wanted. Why? Because I love that kid. And I would not withhold anything good from him. And God loves us this morning. And if we really want the biggest pumpkin in the patch, that's the one we'll have. If that's his will for our life, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if we really want revival, if we really want to get excited about our sins being gone, if we really want to get excited about the things of God, God will stir the fires of revival in our hearts again. Brother Gibbs, I just can't get that. Brother John, my little brother and I, we listened to that message on CD. We had to go to the music store on Friday and looking about the stuff to fix the sound equipment. And we were listening as it was winding up as we pulled in the parking lot. And me and John were both sitting in the truck squalling. He said, we got to straighten up before we go in there. But Brother Gibbs, in that message, he was talking about how to have the power of God. You know one of the things he said? He said, you got to ask.
Yeah.
Man, isn't that simple?
Yeah, Bridget.
You've got to ask.
Amen.
Careful. You'll miss that one. I said, you've got to ask.
Amen, Bridget.
You know what I think? I believe a lot of God's people haven't asked God for revival because they're afraid of it. They're afraid of what it'll do in their heart. They're afraid of what it'll do in their lives. Hey, man, I'm telling you, when God gets next to you, things will change.
Amen.
We okay this morning? I'll never get to this message. I ain't even read the scripture. It's hard to get past that. It's hard not to just have a good Selah right there. It's hard not to stop and just gnaw on that a while. Amen. Have you ever ate food so good you didn't want to swallow it? Are you listening? My wife and I went to, I forgot who it was. Somebody gave us a gift certificate several years ago. And this is a hint, by the way. I love them gift cards, amen?
Yeah.
Especially to restaurants, hallelujah. But they gave us one of this place called Morton's in Atlanta. The gift card itself was it $100? Something like that. The gift card was $100. And then they came back and said, preacher, that won't be enough. I said, for real? And they give us 75 more and said, I hope that'll do. I said, it's just me and her. We ain't having a family reunion. They said, no, preacher, it'll take it. And this guy came out with a cart, Brother Freddie, and it had a bunch of steaks on it, and you got to pick out the one you wanted. He said, now this one right here, it's been soaking in stuff for about 3 days. I said, that's the one I want right there. And I put that steak in my mouth after they cooked it. And I had to make myself swallow. I just wanted to just suck it for a while. Hey, man, that's better than a jawbreaker, friend. I'm talking about the things of God, man. We ought to just read that scripture right there about all our sins being gone, about the blood of Christ covered us from all sin. Hey, we ought to suck on that a while. Get the good out of it this morning. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. I got to read the rest of the scripture, I think. I'm telling you, that'll help us this morning.
Amen.
Are all your sins covered? Are they? Are you clean with God this morning? Wow. Isn't that something? Look at verse number 3. My goodness. I'm just going to put this outline up. He said, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. We're just going to read through these scriptures and chew on them a little while. You know what he said? You ain't mad at us no more.
Amen.
You know the Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. But I'm glad this morning God's not mad at me. Are you listening this morning? I said I'm glad God is not mad at me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, some people you don't want mad at you.
Amen.
I mean, there's just some people around you don't want mad at you. I got some old buddies. You don't want mad at you. Why? Because they can hurt you. Let me tell you something. You don't want God mad at you.
Amen.
Now, one of my old buddies might cut your throat and take your life, but God's got your eternity in His hand. Amen. He said, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now watch what he says in verse 4. Turn us. Turn us. Turn us. What a thing to ask God. You see, I've got it all wrong. I'm trying to turn myself. I'm trying to fix it all myself. I'm trying to attain righteousness myself. I'm trying to live right myself. And here's what the psalmist said, God, you turn us. We cannot manufacture revival. We cannot book a revival. We cannot plan a revival. Hey, but if revival comes, God will have to bring the revival. God will have to breathe the revival. If there's any turning done, God will have to do it. I thought about when I read this scripture last night, I thought about a message I preached a long time ago. And I might dig that outline up. I can't remember what all was in there. But here was the thought of the message. God changes people. You see, we have the problem of wives trying to change their husbands. Husbands trying to change their wives. Parents trying to change their children. We may force issues. We may shove rules down somebody's throat, but you ain't changing nobody. Why? Because you ain't got the power to. You see, you hear what I said? You ain't got the power to. I love to pick on him when he's here. Maybe that's why he don't come a whole lot, but I love to pick on Stacy. We grew up together. We've known each other basically all our lives. And I'm older than him, if you believe that or not. You would never believe it, would you? He looks 50 and I look 30. But I've known Stacy forever. I've known his daddy all my life. Now, we're on the radio and I probably shouldn't say this, but his daddy's a mess. He's a sight, boy. But you know, something happened to Stacy. He told me about it one day when we were, I don't know what we was doing. I guess we was down at the Deer Club. And Stacy said that one Sunday, hey, we were wild as buck rabbits. And I don't know if you know how wild a buck rabbit is, but you just reach out in the briar patch and grab one day. And you'll find out how wild they are. We was wide open as a case knife into everything we could get into. But Stacy said one Sunday morning, John Meadows was preaching down at New Georgia Baptist Church, and Stacy sat on the pew with his son, Bubba, and boy, Stacy's heart got to thumping in his chest, and he told old Bubba, he said, man, something's got to happen, something's going on, and Stacy went down to that altar, and God changed his life. You see, Bud couldn't do that, his dad. His mom is a precious lady, but she couldn't turn him.
Amen.
But I'm glad God can.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw thine anger to all generations? Now watch verse number 6. Wilt thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Boy, that's a good question, isn't it?
Amen.
Why couldn't we come together as a church this morning and pray that simple prayer that the psalmist prayed several thousand years ago. Lord, will you revive us again? Lord, will you put the fire and the excitement back in my heart again? Lord, would you put the joy back down in my soul again? God, put the smile back on my face again. Lord, will you revive us again? By the way, he will. Now watch what he says in verse number 7. He said, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Now listen carefully. We're just going to run down through these verses this morning. I know this is so simple, but boy, how do we need it? Amen. Notice the first thing he said, when revival comes, you'll hear God again. Amen. Ain't that what he said? Read that for me, Brother Cody, verse number 7. Good and loud. Somebody read that thing real loud. Levi.
Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation.
No, verse 8, I'm sorry.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for yeah. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again.
Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
He said, I will hear. Hey, have you ever, I don't know how long you've been saved, but have you ever been through a dry spell? You ever been through that period when you just hadn't had God speak to you? I mean, literally, God just has not spoke to your heart for some time. He used to deal with you all the time. He doesn't even deal with you anymore. Hey, man, when revival comes, you'll hear the voice of God again, loud and clear.
Amen.
You say, well, God's not talking to me. Wonder why. Do you know how I know when she's mad at me? Do you know how I know? It ain't because she's beating me upside the head. That comes later. But it's not because she's beating me upside the head. It's not because she's cussing me out. No, it's her silence. And then I try to pry it out of her, and it makes it worse. That's how I know she's angry. That's how I know that there's something between us. She's not talking. Y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
How do I know God is upset with me? How do I know when there's something between me and God? He ain't talking. You remember when he used to get in the car with you when wasn't nobody around? You put in one of them old CDs or one of them old cassette tapes and boy, they'd start singing about the blood. They'd start singing about how your sins were gone. They'd start singing about how good God's been to you. And boy, them old tears would start flowing. I mean, you'd even miss your turn going to work. I'm like, boy, the Holy Ghost just get up next to you. Amen. And God would just talk to you, man. Hey, I'm telling you, when we get right with God and when revival comes, we'll hear God again. Amen. He said, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Well, what's he going to speak? Look at the next little phrase right there. He said, he will speak what? Peace unto his people. Wow. Peace. I can't believe this is right on our bulletin this morning. What's his name? Does that say Horatio? Is that Horatio, Brother Freddy? Spofford wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. After losing, I don't remember who else, several of his family members went down in a ship on the sea. And he was going over on the ship to go to where his wife was. And when they got to the spot where the ship went down, the captain of the ship called down and said, Mr. Spofford, this is where your family sank. This is where you lost your children right here. And he wrote this song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Hey, listen, you got any peace this morning? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with God this morning? Old Bobby's sitting back there grinning this morning. Got saved Sunday before last, I believe it was. He got up out of that altar right there and he said, that feels good. He said it quiet like that, but then he said, that feels good. What was it that felt so good? It's the peace of God that he had never known before in his life. I'm telling you, that thing rushed over his soul, rushed through his heart, and blew his mind at how good God was. Hey, man, it's good to know the peace of God. Amen. That's why you ain't happy, you ain't at peace. That's why you can't clap your hands. That's why you can't lift your hands. That's why you can't say amen. You're not at peace. Yeah, but I got things going on. So did Mr. Spofford. He was headed to his children's funeral. Huh? Hey, God can give peace even in our trouble. I remember when Brother Tommy's mom died. I think, did we bury her on a Saturday? Yes, sir. We buried her on a Saturday. Old Brother Tommy came in here and piled up in this altar on Sunday morning. Anybody remember that? He got to shouting like a banshee engine. He got to praying down there in that altar, and all of a sudden, woo! I mean, he just got to, like a war chant, brother. He was having people looking like, man, what's the matter with that dude? I'll tell you what was the matter with him. God gave him peace right there in that altar, and God will give you peace right here in this altar this morning. Amen. I'm talking about when revival comes. God will speak peace to his people. My soul. Look at verse number 9. Surely his salvation is near or nigh them that fear him. Watch this, that glory may dwell in our land. He said he'd speak peace. We'll hear what God has to say. And what God has to say, he'll speak peace to our soul. Then he said his glory will fill the land. Wow. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this term or not, but I like it when we get into glory around here. I like it when the visitors' eyeballs get about that big around. I like it when the uppity crowd gets nervous. I like it when that reverent bunch goes, ooh, I don't know about this. I don't know if they're Baptist or Pentecostal. We're just saved. That's all it is. Amen. I like it when, old Brother Tommy Steele said, I like it when God shows up and shows out. Amen. He said the glory would dwell in the land. Now watch what he said in verse number 10. He said mercy and truth are met together. I love this verse of Scripture. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Isn't that pretty? I don't know how well I could expound on that. It's just pretty, isn't it? Huh. Mercy and truth. How many of you need some mercy this morning? The only way to get it is to deal with the truth, isn't it? What's the truth? He said, thy word is truth. Amen. When revival comes, we will hear the voice of God speak to us again. Hey, you may just call it emotion, you call it whatever you want, but somebody bigger than me and my little brother put together got in the truck with us over on Highway 41 Friday morning. Somebody bigger than both us put together. His name was Jesus. You know what he did? He decided he'd come by and visit with us a little while and bless us real good. Amen. When revival comes, we'll hear God speak. When revival comes, we'll have peace in our heart again. When revival comes, we'll experience mercy and we'll understand the truth. Jump down to the last one. I'm gonna quit. He said, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Wow. What are you saying, preacher? When revival comes, not only will we hear the voice of God again, not only will we experience the peace of God again, not only will we know mercy and truth again, listen, not only will we experience the glory of God again, but we'll start walking the right direction again. When revival comes. When revival comes. I didn't say if revival comes. I said when revival comes. Amen. November the 4th is just 2 weeks away. Is that right? Is it 2 weeks? Yeah. Oh, the Hensons are coming. The rooms are booked. Everything's taken care of. Brother Roger, Miss Kay, they'll be here. They'll be here on Wednesday night. And they'll bless our hearts when they sing. And that little mother will testify, I'm sure, and talk about burying her boy last year. And she'll talk about how good God is, and we'll have a good time. Brother Fisher will be here. He's coming in from California. Got to pick him up sometime Monday afternoon. He'll be here to preach to us, or Wednesday afternoon. And we'll have a good time. But will we have revival? Brother Tony, surely we love Brother Tony around here. Brother Big Time. That's what we make fun of him, call him Brother Big Time. He's excited. His wife and little old babies are coming. I'm his children's favorite preacher. They like me better than they do their own daddy. Amen. They're all excited. We got them a room over here. Brother Tony already knows. He says what he's preaching. He's excited about coming. He loves you. He loves his church. And we'll have a good time, but will we have revival? Brother Dean, y'all have never heard Brother Dean, most of you. Brother Dean McNeese and Brother Jonathan, they'll be here on Friday night. Y'all remember Brother Jonathan McNeese preaching last year about them two kings? I never heard nothing like it in my life, boy. I still like to replay that one, and I just have a fit. I've heard him preach it three more times since then. I like it, boy. It's good. I don't care if he preaches it again this year. It suits me fine. But we'll have a good time. There's no doubt about it. We'll have a good time. But will we have a revival? We've rented the White Oak Park going toward Dallas. We're going to have barbecue on Saturday. We're going to watch our guys play football and kill one another. That's fun. Ain't it, Brother Todd? Somebody gets something broke every year. But we have a good time of fellowship, and we'll have a good time. But will we have revival? I think if we'll just maybe for the next few days, if we could just try and live in verse 1 and 2, something might begin to stir in our hearts again. I don't spend enough time thinking about what God's done for me. I don't spend enough time thinking about how wicked I was, how wicked I am, and what His mercy did for me.
Amen, brother.
See, Bobby, it probably hadn't even begun to sink in good with you yet, just what all happened down there the other Sunday. It would take me months and months and months to go over everything God did for you that fast.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
That's right. Amen.
We don't spend enough time thinking about what God's done for
Amen,
us.
Amen.
Well, we went through an act of salvation. We prayed a prayer and we got baptized. And boy, that was wonderful. No, it was absolutely amazing what God did.
Yes, sir.
Let's spend some time in those two verses. Here, let's stand our feet this morning. Brother Todd, y'all get us a song. I'll tell you, I promise I'm not going to preach it, but I'll tell you what I was going to preach. I was going to preach when real revival comes, it'll do three things. Just give this some thought. It will calm the tide of sin when real revival comes. It will. Secondly, it will put God in His rightful place. Oh, there's many of us saved here this morning, but we've got God out of order. He's supposed to be up here, and we've got Him down here somewhere. And thirdly, it will accomplish the work of evangelism in the church when real revival comes. Real revival comes. Let's be obedient this morning. Brother Todd, you got a verse you can sing, brother, if you don't mind. Well, let's just mind God. Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Have you asked Him for revival? Have you asked God to do anything in your heart? Listen, before He sings, let's bow our heads just for a second. Nobody looking around. I wonder how many would lift their hand with me and say, "Preacher, I need revival in my heart." Pray God would send it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Mine's up with yours. I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for all of us. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning say, "Preacher, I need more than revival. I need to be reborn. I've never been saved. If I died just like I am, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, please pray for me. I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Thanks for being obedient this morning. Before Brother Todd sings, let's pray together. And then as I close my prayer, why don't we really pray together this morning? Father, as we come to you again in Jesus' name, thank you so much, Father, for a good day. Lord, thank you for being the God that you are. Lord, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, you saw every hand this morning. You know every heart. Lord, you know how great the need of revival is. Lord, not just in my heart and not just in this church, but in America. Lord, we need to see you move again. Lord, we need to see you do those great and mighty things that you promised. But God, it's greatly depending on us this morning. Lord, I'm afraid America just don't want you like they used to. Lord, I pray you'd put that desire back in our hearts. Lord, like the psalmist said, turn us this morning, God. Turn us back towards you. Father, I love you. Have your way. And please send revival in Jesus' name. Amen.